This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's hour one on this Wednesday. The gang's all here, ready to go. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll join us coming up in a little bit. We'll talk some baseball with Jeff Passan of the Mothership. Phone calls are always welcome. Operator Tyler standing by. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app, our streaming partner, and our radio affiliates around the country. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. I saw where 9 first-year eligible players are among the 173 nominees for the 2024 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The 9, Julius Peppers, Antonio Gates, Brandon Marshall, Jordy Nelson, Jamal Charles, TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, Max Unger, and Haloti Ngata. They combined for 12 first-team All-Pro selections, 42 Pro Bowls. And it's we go through this process every single year. And are we going to get to the point that Deion Sanders has talked about? We have too many in the Hall of Fame. And is there a way to differentiate, distinguish between those who get in first ballot and those who just get into the Hall of Fame? I have no problem treating those players who were special and having a special floor. You want to have a penthouse at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio? I think that would be pretty cool. But all you're saying is, if you get in on the first ballot, we're going to put you in a special place. Nothing wrong with that. You know, everybody's a Hall of Famer, but not everybody's on the same level of the Hall of Fame. And if you want to do that in other sports, first ballot Hall of Famer, I have no problem with that. I like celebrating more people going into the Hall of Fame. Deion says it's too watered down. And I understand that from his perspective, because he wants to be in the penthouse with the other first ballot Hall of Famers. But these are the latest nominees. So there's 173 nominees on the ballot for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But if I go through who's a Hall of Famer, and really this should be the litmus test. It's not. But if I say Julius Peppers, Hall of Fame, right away. Yes? No?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, long career, a lot of 10 sack seasons.
Okay. Got suspended for...
I think it was like Ephedra,
yeah.
I'm going to throw a curveball here. While Julius Peppers is a Hall of Famer, I think I'd rather have Haloti Ngata on my team. Mm-hmm. I don't think Haloti Ngata's run was near as long, but no. As far as dominance, I thought Haloti Ngata was a wrecker.
Okay, is anybody a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh.
That's different, too. If I say Antonio Gates, who was also suspended, He's a Hall of Famer, right? His,
yes.
His numbers as a tight end. Now, he gets lost in the shuffle here with Tony Gonzalez. You got Gronk. You certainly have Travis Kelce. Then you have the other tight ends. And Antonio Gates had incredible numbers. Never got to play in that big game, but he always had incredible numbers. Former basketball player. Yes, Mark.
What do you say about those guys like maybe Shannon Sharp or Chris Carter that weren't first ballot, but in your head you're like, they weren't first ballot? That's surprising, almost like a TO also.
Well, I don't know if the voters liked Chris Carter. I think his personality rubbed people the wrong way. It's not supposed to factor in, certainly with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They're not supposed to factor in you off the field. At least that's what I've been told. But is Chris Carter first ballot Hall of Famer? Sure. Is Shannon Sharp first ballot Hall of Famer? Absolutely. But I don't think anybody here is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Julius Peppers, Antonio Gates, Brandon Marshall. Yeah, Hall of Famers, but I don't, at least the first two, Antonio Gates and Julius Peppers, Hall of Famers. I'm glad I don't have to vote on this. I struggle enough with the Heisman Trophy. Like, I really care about it because I understand the significance of it. I knew what it meant when I was growing up. I don't know if it means as much to these players, maybe as much as it's just a marketing thing for them, chance to, cash in, maybe do a, Nissan Heisman commercial with Baker Mayfield. But when it comes to Hall of Fame, and, being able to get in, when you get in, is it a veterans committee? But voting on this is really tough. And what happens is you get guys who come in and basically will stump for somebody. They'll campaign for somebody. They go in trying to sell you on why this person deserves to go in. I don't know if you have people who go in and say why somebody shouldn't be in, but you do have people representing these athletes. Tom Brady famously wrote a letter for Jason Taylor of the Dolphins talking about how great. I mean, if you got Brady endorsing you, how can a voter go, well, I don't know. It's that guy was chasing that guy, and he wrote a letter about how great Jason Taylor was. Yeah, Paul.
Okay, there's a guy like Brandon Marshall who was a great wide receiver but may have trouble getting the Hall of Fame because his career went for a few places, Denver, Miami, Chicago, Jets. But let's compare Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, to Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson had one season with 100 or more receptions.
Okay.
Brandon Marshall had six seasons with 100 or more receptions. Calvin Johnson had one season with over 10 touchdown catches. He had four. Brandon Marshall also had four seasons over 10. But Brandon Marshall didn't do it for one team. It's weird. Like, Brandon Marshall might have a tougher time getting the Hall of Fame than Calvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Calvin Johnson, first ballot Hall of Famer. Brandon Marshall.
I never felt that Calvin Johnson was.
A first ballot Hall of Famer?
No. Mm. Okay. I thought he had four great years, and then he quit.
I think he was always the man. Imagine if he played for somebody other than the Lions.
For sure.
Right? And then who are your quarterbacks, if you factor that in? Who did Brandon Marshall have throwing to him? And then who did Calvin Johnson have throwing to him? I guess you got to factor that in as well. But, first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't have a problem if you want to. And I don't want to differentiate, like, third floor, second floor, first floor, and then somebody's in the basement of the Hall of Fame. I just want it one floor, first ballot, Hall of Fame. That'll be the top floor.
Okay, like the gold level.
That's it.
The gold club.
Yes. Oh, gold
club. The gold club, Marv.
Okay,
let's go get some wings.
Yeah.
Make it rain.
Yeah. I go there for the buffet. Yes, Eaton.
How much of the Calvin Johnson or Brandon Marshall thing is based on where you're drafted? One went second overall. The other one was a fourth round draft pick. Immediately coming into the league, you're seen at different levels. So Calvin Johnson going into the league was already like a super stud wide receiver because of just based on what he did in college and where he was drafted, right?
But sometimes you won't get the recognition because you're supposed to be great, as opposed to, oh my God, have you seen this Cooper Kupp guy? Like, he got so much attention because nobody knew who he was, as opposed to this guy coming into the league. He's supposed to be great. And I think sometimes that can work against you. Just like, Paulie's saying, Calvin Johnson only had four seasons that were great.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he should have had more. He's Calvin Johnson. You were a high draft pick, whereas Brandon Marshall had maybe better numbers, more consistent numbers for a longer period of time, and he was more of a surprise.
You kind of feel like with Calvin Johnson, though, in his career, it wasn't his fault that the Lions weren't winning.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It wasn't his fault.
Yes.
It was everybody else's fault. Somebody else should have done something more because he did what he was supposed to do.
But is he the receiving version of Matthew Stafford?
Oh, yeah.
Where, I mean, Matthew Stafford's going to be a Hall of Famer because he won the Super Bowl. Right?
No, but go ahead.
No, not Marvin's saying he shouldn't. You're saying he is. You're both right.
I'm saying he's going to get in. I'm saying because if he just had his career with Detroit, he to me, he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's just a, you know, East Coast version of Phillip Rivers. Yes, Marv.
Matthew Stafford has, I think, one Pro Bowl. Not even like an All-Pro. Not even a season. He doesn't have like a Matt Ryan type of season where he was the MVP.
Well.
And he's got a Super Bowl?
He's got
put Brad Johnson in.
He has accumulated. He's a compiler, and then he won a Super Bowl. Okay?
Put Trent Dilfer in. He got a Pro Bowl, too.
Yeah, but his numbers aren't close to Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson.
Yes, Paul.
You can make the case the Detroit Lions had the most physically talented running back, wide receiver, and quarterback in the last 50 years. Physically talented. No one questioned Matt Stafford's ability to throw the ball. I mean, big arm. One of the biggest arms. Calvin Johnson.
Not literally.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's that big. But I think Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson are like first ballot ability.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Sorry, Lions fans.
Yes, Seton.
This is a very local reference, but I'm sure a certain portion of our audience will really appreciate it. This person, Matt, wrote, "The Hall of Fame is like living in Laguna Beach. Some people live on the ocean. Some people can see the ocean. Some people live in a 70s house obstructed by someone else with more money, but you all live in Laguna." I get it.
Thank you, Matt.
I get it, Matt. Well done.
That is the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
on the beach in
Laguna
Beach.
Somebody's on the beach or somebody's looking at your house on the beach.
Yes, Dion is on the beach.
But they can still walk to the beach when they need to.
Yes, somebody's got an obstructed view.
Yeah.
And they're in the Hall of Fame. Yes, Todd.
Isn't it possibly giving the voters too much power if we make separate wings or have this special wing that this group decides who should be in the penthouse?
Wouldn't you be interested if I said, I mean, how many times do you go, wow, can't wait to see what the results are of the Hall of Fame, where you go, for the most part, we know who's going to go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, sometimes we're surprised, but to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, now all of a sudden you get a celebration on top of a celebration, and then you get the first ballot Hall of Famers who then welcome him into the club.
But is it the best interest of the Hall of Fame and the NFL to have, we want to create this debate forever in the Hall of Fame? It's like, how is this one not in the penthouse, or this one is in there but shouldn't be?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yes. They want conversation. They want debate. Absolutely. If you went to the Hall of Fame and I said, there is a gold club, are you going up to see that? Are you going to make sure that you go up and see that?
If I'm already at the Hall of Fame, it's a curiosity. But I think ultimately for me, I think you either make the Hall of Fame or you don't. I'm uncomfortable with wings or
a special section
of the Hall of
Fame. I love first ballot Hall of Fame. That's it.
You could put that on the plaque somewhere that you were first ballot. I don't know about like those busts go to the top floor.
Oh, I definitely want it. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, I agree. The only, there shouldn't be wings. There shouldn't be anything. The only designation is you were either first ballot you got in.
That's it.
That's all you need.
Yes.
Because first ballot is something special.
Yes.
That's it.
I love it. Yes, Marv.
Can you imagine T.O. looking at Steve Largent? Like, wait, he gets to go into the champagne room? He gets to go into the club.
I do.
I'm down here. I could see the velvet rope. I was better than him, or maybe as good. Can you imagine that type of, you know, pettiness going on?
You didn't get in.
The voters' fault.
Don't blame Steve Largent. Don't blame him.
I like the idea when, like, Hall of Famers are like, it's getting a little crowded in here, if you know what I mean.
Going upstairs.
Dang, dude. Yeah.
Hey, and they're the only ones who can go up there.
Yeah, like, it's a little crowded.
The other Hall of Famers, so you have somebody there. Velvet ropes. Somebody tries to get in. Yeah. You're like, I think second. You were second year that you. I'm so sorry.
Hey, wait, I'm a Hall of Famer too. I know you are.
Yeah,
sure. I know
you're.
Yes.
But not on this floor.
Not really.
You're a Hall of Famer downstairs. Yeah, Yes, Paulie.
You make James Harrison the bouncer. He's just Jack standing there waiting. You know when you get in, when you go to those real nice hotels and you got to go in the elevator and swipe your card to go to your room and you press 4 and then you swipe your card and you hit PH and it won't let you go to PH.
Yeah.
You get those kind of cards.
Yes, Todd.
But within this gold club we're talking about, is there a main stage and then a periphery? How far do we break it down? Or is it just that one penthouse level? Or there even is within the best of the best?
No, Todd. No, it's just keep it simple. It's one floor.
I don't like it.
All right. I know you don't like it, but it's a top floor. It's the gold club. It's first ballot.
You also had mentioned something about different colored jackets. I don't know if you were being facetious or you'd like to see different shades of gold and yellow.
I think Dion talked about that.
Yeah, that's a little far.
But once again, you stand out in the crowd and then people go, oh, wow, who's that? He was a first ballot Hall of Famer back in the 60s. All it is conversation. You want to create, you know, this. This is what you want. We just filled up 10 minutes
He's
here.
Wearing the red jacket. He's kind of made the Hall of Fame, but that's questionable.
That's not true. There's no red jacket, Todd.
If they went in that direction ever and did
no.
shades of
colors. What did I just say? Yeah, okay. What did I just say? It's really simple. First ballot, we're going to put you up on the top floor. You can have a gold jacket, a more gold jacket.
And this little group of voters gets to decide the immortality of the penthouse.
They're deciding the immortality of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but if it's just you're either a Hall of Famer or not, it's one thing. But now you're deciding who gets their bust on the top floor. This group, some of them may not like a certain player or they're old and they haven't been following some of the years.
That's what happens getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they're doing it either way.
Yes.
They're deciding who gets a bust and who doesn't.
Yes.
But it really stands out more when you're now designating these are the real, real Hall of Famer.
Oh, man.
It's just me.
Oh, I know that.
That's kind of on one today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, even in the morning meeting, he had some takes today that were like, okay.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm not trying
on?
To be controversial. I'm just, that's my opinion, is really the penthouse and like Yurik on one of the lower levels.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers can't have surgery like normal people does. He has to have some super special surgery. He can't even do like that.
You did say that.
Yeah, he goes up on top of the mountain and they put little pins and needles in him and no one else knows about this special way to be able to come back in 6 months from it.
Oh, he thinks he's so great. All of a sudden, he's the one that knows the super secret surgery. It's so great that why doesn't everybody do it?
He went to an actual doctor, not some guy at a mountain. He was an actual MD.
He's immunized. All of a sudden, he's back week 12 because he had this special procedure done that no one ever heard of. Whatever.
Whatever.
Might be back for the playoffs.
But,
who knows?
But okay, but isn't that a good story? Isn't that a good thing?
I guess. I guess. It seems like Aaron Rodgers has something figured out that the rest of the world of athletes don't know about.
Good, good. I mean, if he did find something, great, and he can come back, great. Shohei Ohtani having surgery. By the way, it was the Dodgers surgeon who did this surgery on Shohei Ohtani.
That's a curve.
Yeah.
Well, when they sign him, they already have that relationship, and they know how good he is.
Already going to be with the Dodgers, it'd be like, hey, come on in. Here's your team doctor. He's going to be doing your surgery. Okay, we're just getting started. I got all fired up there. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Go to danpatrick.com. Put in your email address in the box that slides out bottom right corner and all the details there. We have an idea of when the next moonshine batch will be up for grabs for you. We'll have that for you on the newsletter coming up. What?
An idea.
Yeah.
It's a rough idea.
Yeah, we have a rough idea. I said to Seton, I said, when's the next batch? He goes, it's in October. And I said, okay, can we narrow it down maybe a little bit?
Say the front half of October sounds.
Yeah, we're hoping to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a break. Let me see if Ryan Fitzpatrick, what he thinks of our idea with the Hall of Fame. He'll join us coming up on loan from Amazon Thursday Night Football. The Giants and the Niners coming up on Thursday night. We'll take a break. We're just getting started back after this Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dan Patrick Show brought to you by Discover Credit Cards. They do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. Cash back from trips and restaurants. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. We'll get to phone calls coming up. What's poll question we're going to go with first hour, Seton?
I think we're going to go with two for the first hour, Dan.
Okay.
First one is, should the Pro Football Hall of Fame have a wing just for first balloters?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And then I think we're also going to go with, if you were an Amazon TV executive, would you allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to shave his beard?
Allow him to. Oh.
Of course, it's his face. Or absolutely not. Hashtag branding.
Okay. Yeah, Paulie.
I'll jump in on this. If I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick's boss, I would like at least a heads up if there's any big shaving or changes in the beard hair, because that's part of the money make. He's a very good analyst. The beard is also a very big part of it.
But what if his wife says, all right, let's go. We're done with this now.
I'm paying the bills. I'm Joe Amazon.
Oh, no. He might be paying the bills, but somebody's running the house.
Is there still Fitz magic, though?
Ooh.
Is it a little bit like Samson and you cut the hair, you cut the beard?
Yeah, it's a little less Fitz magical, I think.
All right, let's ask him. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who joins us. We have the Niners and the Giants coming up Thursday night football. And Ryan, of course, one of the analysts there on the program. Prime Video starts at 8:15 Eastern, Thursday Night Football tonight. All right. Is it in your contract that you must keep your beard?
So I don't think it's written in the contract, although it was mentioned to me that it was a very important thing that I kept my beard. So I am not shaving it. I also, just funny anecdote, was doing a commercial and they were nervous I shaved my chest hair. So they had yak hair. Shaved my chest hair, because that was going to be a big part of the commercial.
They put yak hair on your chest for the commercial.
Yeah, let me see. I got it in here somewhere. It's in my trophy case. But just in case, they had it on set because they were nervous that I was shaving my chest.
Okay. Well, is it part of your identity, though? Do you feel like that if you did shave, does that take away something from you?
Yeah, I mean, I could be completely anonymous if I shaved my beard. I don't think people would recognize me, but you know, my kids are kind of the driving force behind it now. My daughters have no interest. They've seen me shave my beard once or twice and have no interest ever seeing that man again.
Wow. All right. That's all we needed to know, Ryan. You know, have a great game tomorrow night. We were just talking about the Hall of Fame. Dion has brought this up before. Could you have a top floor that will distinguish, differentiate the first ballot Hall of Famers? So you make it, it's special for the Hall of Fame. Now you get something that's even more special for guys who are first ballot Hall of Famers. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's a great idea. You know, it's going to be interesting coming up here, just the way that the stats have blown up in the last 15 years, especially with quarterback play. Richard Sherman and I love to have these debates all the time of, you know, is he a first ballot guy? Is he going to get in the Hall of Fame? But if you strictly look at numbers of some of these guys, you're looking at Matt Ryan's numbers, you're looking at Matthew Stafford's numbers. Now Russell Wilson, the first one to ever do what he did with the passing yards and the rushing yards, and he's got a Super Bowl under his belt. It's like, how many of these guys are we looking at that we're saying, well, gosh, I guess I could see him getting in the Hall of Fame. I think making a tier or a distinction is a good idea.
Matthew Stafford, Hall of Famer?
He's one of my favorite quarterbacks I've ever watched, but I just think there were too many empty years in Detroit.
Okay. Matt Ryan.
I think if he wins that Super Bowl, it becomes very easy, but I mean, Matt Ryan statistically, I don't have it in front of me, but I think he's probably top five in yards in his career or somewhere up there. So he had some pretty good years in Atlanta. I would say yes.
He's got 63,000 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, some of these discussions are going to happen with these quarterbacks coming up. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be difficult to get in, but it's going to be difficult to say no to a lot of these guys with their numbers.
Can Russell Wilson play himself out of the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Is he playing himself out of the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I think he is. That's going to be an interesting one this week, too, at Miami. Or I don't know if they're playing Miami, but Whose fault is that going to be as that continues to go south? Is that Sean Payton or is that wristband Russell? I think we're all intrigued on that one.
But I don't know what happened. Like, how does it, you go from being this, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback, an unbelievable career, and then all of a sudden you fall off, you know, the cliff here. What happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you don't know how good you have it until it's gone. And that was a historic defense in Seattle. That was a great situation that he was put in. Look, and he played really well. And, you know, it just, as soon as this whole let Russ cook thing happened and he wanted to go to another place because he wants to have more control and show that he can do it somewhere else, the grass is not always greener. And I think this is a situation that definitely points to that.
Talking to Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can see him tomorrow night. It'll be Amazon Prime Video, Andrew Whitworth, Tony Gonzalez. Let's see who else. Oh, our good friend, Carissa Thompson is going to be there. Richard Sherman's going to be there pre halftime and post game show coverage at 7 Eastern, the game's at 8:15. I know you played in the Ivy League. Buddy Tevens, the great Dartmouth head coach, just passed away. It was quite the innovator. I don't know if you, you know, what your recollection was of a Buddy at Dartmouth.
Yeah, we lost a great man. I mean, he did great things for Dartmouth, for the Ivy League, and really for the game of football in general. And he was best friends with my coach, Tim Murphy. And so I got to know him over the years. He ran the Peyton and Eli Manning Passing Academy. So he meant a lot to the game of football and even just health and safety of the players, some innovative things that he did at Dartmouth. So I appreciate you for bringing that up. And we certainly lost a great man.
Yeah, we had him on a couple of times. He was a great interview and really an innovator ahead of his time with college football at Dartmouth. I was wondering about this strategy. Brian Daboll is saying Saquon Barkley could be available tomorrow night. And I was wondering about that. I don't know if it's gamesmanship, but it also puts a little more pressure on Saquon Barkley that, you know, he's supposed to be out 3 weeks. Now your coach is saying, hey, you might be available tomorrow night. So then what? Maybe it's you. Why aren't you playing? Because your coach is saying this. Is Brian just saying, do you expect Saquon Barkley to play tomorrow night?
Well, as an employee and analyst for Amazon, I fully expect Saquon to play.
Of course.
So make sure you tune in.
Of course.
But, you know, watching the end of that game and the way, you know, his expression, his frustration, his face, the way that the ankle got tweaked, there's no chance he's playing in this game. It's gamesmanship. It's stable. Just making sure that they have to still prepare a little bit for Saquon if he plays. But I don't think anybody believes that. And so that doesn't put a whole lot of pressure on Saquon, because I think it's just the coach talking. Now, once you apply a timetable to him and you say, okay, this is a mild ankle sprain, 3 weeks, that as a player is tough, because there's now undue pressure on you to hurry up and get back on the field. And as players, we're trying to do the best we can to be out there and be available.
Did you ever face somebody who was in that category with Micah Parsons?
He is unbelievable. I think there were some years, you know, J.J. Watt, there were some years where he was unblockable. Aaron Donald, unblockable. But Micah Parsons is quickly becoming the guy, the face of the NFL. It's really scary. And I think Dan Quinn is so innovative in the way that he's going to be able to put him in different spots and rush him, because – look, a lot of an offense and what you do, what can you do versus a great pass rusher? Well, you could chip, but all of a sudden we saw last week, they put Micah Parsons on the outside. They run a game where he steps up and then runs around into the inside. So they know how teams are going to try to block Micah. They're going to move him around. It's hard to double him on every play, but he's as good as it gets, and he is a scary, scary player right now.
I didn't understand the Jets' philosophy here, the game plan. You have Zach Wilson on the road against Dallas, and you run the ball 11 times. You have two good running backs. Why not just, you know, Bill Parcells used to say the best way to go at a great defender is to go at the defender. Don't let him try to catch up with the play, because LT, Micah Parsons, they have the athleticism to do it. Why not just run the football and take away a little bit of the pressure off Zach Wilson?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's a head scratcher, but, you know, I'm sure that was the intent going into the game. That's what they wanted to do. As the score gets away from you a little bit, you know, as you're trying to play this game of catch up and figure out as you're getting behind the chains, okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? It just gets difficult as a play caller. Did they want Breece Hall to touch the ball four times? No. I mean, I think we saw the week before what they want Breece Hall to be. They want a healthy dose of Breece, a healthy dose of Dalvin Cook, take some pressure off of young Zach Wilson. But it's difficult sometimes when you get in those games, because you go in with one plan and then all of a sudden you look back after the game and think, gosh, you know, we really screwed up here. But a lot of that is, you know, a play caller trying to look at that scoreboard and make up points when you can't really put it all on Zach Wilson.
When you heard that the Niners were going to reach out to Phillip Rivers if they had made the Super Bowl with the injuries to their quarterbacks, now, did you think that maybe you could volunteer? Did they call you to see if you wanted, if you could have been able to play last year, if they had gone to the Super Bowl, did they contact you, or did you think about reaching out to them?
No, they did not contact me, and I did not think about reaching out, but you know, the Phillip Rivers thing is interesting with a quarterback, you know, with a receiver, with a running back, you can't really just come off the street after missing 15, 16 weeks of an NFL season, then into the playoffs and play as a quarterback. That might be the one position, kicker. Do we count them? I don't know that you could actually do it. I don't know what kind of shape Phillip was in, but he's so sharp up here, that probably would have been the best option.
What if the Jets called you to be a backup for Zach Wilson?
No chance. Physically, you know, I had a hip injury at the end of my career. I don't know where I'd be with that, but I love what I'm doing right now with Amazon. Love my family life. You know, I gave 17 years of my life fully committed to the game of football. And with that became a lot of sacrifices away from my family. And so I'm perfectly content at what I'm doing right now and absolutely loving being involved with Amazon and getting to do the Thursday night gig. So I'm happy where I am. So no chance.
What's the coolest thing in your office there?
Well, I'd say the chest hair, but one of the kids must have grabbed it. Maybe they're wearing it to school. you know, I've got a lot of cool stuff. Let me grab one real fast. Hold on.
Okay. Talking to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
This was my Thursday
night game.
This was my childhood helmet that I used to wear, throwing the ball in the front yard. And it just so happened that in 2005, with the 250th pick, this was also the first NFL team I ever played for. So that one is pretty neat for me.
It looks like something out of the Brady Bunch may have worn, the Rams helmet that they wore.
Yeah. It doesn't fit anymore either. I don't want to mess up my hair. I styled it this morning.
Yeah, your hair looks good. Hair looks good.
Thank you. Well, it's my TV hair.
No, you did great job there. We'll be watching tomorrow night. Always great to talk to you. Thank you for your opinions, and have a great day.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You can see him tomorrow night. 7 Eastern is when they start. Thursday night football tonight. Kickoff at Prime Video at 8:15 Eastern.
Just in case you wanted an update real quick on the poll question.
Yes.
If you were an Amazon TV executive, would you allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to shave his beard? Right now, absolutely not. Hashtag branding is in the lead with 52% of the vote. Of course, it's his face. Just 48%. It's a close one.
Okay. I like how you said, I don't think it's in the contract.
Yeah.
But it was made mention that my beard is very important.
Can you imagine you sit down with this executive? He spent 17 years in the NFL, and they're like, okay, you know, that's great. You got a lot of knowledge. Keep the beard. Yeah, Paulie.
I saw a thing once about the movie Old School. And you know the actor Vince Vaughn? He was supposed to cut his hair, or he cut his hair, and all of a sudden the director goes, we have reshoots on Monday. And he cut his hair short. And like, what are we going to do? So they had some reshoots, and they put a hat on. So there's a couple scenes where Vince Vaughn, I guess, you're supposed to get approval on movie sets.
You can see the beard, you can see the hair, Thursday night, Amazon Prime. We'll take a break. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's time for the North London Derby. Watch one of the Premier League's biggest rivalries play out live from Emirates Stadium, Arsenal-Tottenham Sunday. I don't have to say anything more, do I? Right, Seton?
It's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
That'll be September 24th at 9 a.m. Eastern, streaming only on Peacock. More phone calls coming up. Jeff Passan of the Mothership, ESPN Senior Baseball Insider, joins us on the program. Explain to me the procedure, not surgery, that Shohei Ohtani had.
Yeah, it was surgery. And they tried to talk around it, essentially, to not use the words Tommy John. What it was... reading between the lines here, was a revision reconstruction with an internal brace. What that means is Tommy John surgery has evolved through the years, right? It used to be then the original procedure. Dr. Frank Job went into Tommy John's elbow and drilled holes and essentially looped a new UCL through those holes using a tendon that was taken from his wrist. From what Neil Elitrosh, the doctor who did the surgery, said in the statement, he talked about it being a repair and a reinforcement, which suggests that they didn't go in with a brand new tendon and loop it through, that they reinforced the old one that was there and added an internal brace, which is something that Dr. Keith Meister, a noted Tommy John expert, has been doing the last few years, and that Neil Elitrosh has picked up on as well, and that has found a ton of success in keeping guys healthy. Essentially, though, yes, this was Tommy John surgery, and Shohei Ohtani's not going to pitch next year, and the chances of him coming back and pitching in the future, frankly, are pretty good.
Okay, what's it do for his leverage here in the offseason?
Not a whole lot, because he's still hurt, right? Like, that's the problem with this. I was so genuinely wanting to see him go into this winter healthy just to see how high his contract was going to go. Mm. I think if he was fully healthy going in, it was going to be $650 million. So I think that this UCL tear, that this procedure is going to cost him $150 million probably. But I really don't foresee many scenarios where it gets too far under 500. Like, maybe teams are hesitant, but let's look at it this way, Dan. You have a baseline in place already with Aaron Judge, to whom Shohei Ohtani is a very comparable bat, right? You have 9 years and $360 million. That is a recent comparable. You also have the fact that Shohei Ohtani is the biggest star in the sport, an international superstar, that your franchise value just by having him around is going to jump. You're going to sell tickets. You're going to sell merchandise. You're going to sell concessions. You're going to sell everything. And then, oh, by the way, you've got the pitching element too. And while you may not necessarily want to go out and guarantee that type of money, Jameson Taillon is a two-time Tommy John guy who went out and got $68 million from the Cubs this past offseason. And Shohei Ohtani is a lot better than Jameson Taillon has ever been before. So I think the argument in his favor to go and get that $500 million really is valid. It's just a question of which organization and specifically which owner is going to be willing to take that leap. Because all the other ones, Dan, are going to want to say, you know what? We'll look at you being a pitcher, but you're going to have to earn that. This is going to be incentive based. And frankly, I don't think he's going to want it to be, and I don't think he should have it need to be.
Should I read into the fact that it was the Dodgers surgeon who did the surgery on Shohei Ohtani?
No, Neil Eletrosh is just excellent at his job. He's the guy you go, him and Meister are the guys you go to, and, you know, Jeff Dugas in Birmingham, like the David Altchek, like there are certain surgeons, but when you are on the West Coast and you live in LA, you go to Neil Eletrosh, simple as that.
When do negotiations start for Shohei Ohtani?
The day after the World Series ends. and you know what? I'm sure there's back channeling going on right now that probably is against rules and regulations. But even with this surgery, Dan, he's still going to be the hottest free agent that we've seen since Alex Rodriguez the first time when he signed with Texas. Like I can't think of another player who's gone out there and reach free agency. I mean, Bryce Harper, but that free agency sort of collapsed on itself. And that to me is going to be the defining question here. Are teams going to use the UCL issue as an excuse to avoid going after a transcendent player? Or are they not going to get in their own way and say, this is a once in a lifetime, literally, Dan, a once in a lifetime guy. And we have the opportunity to get him purely for money. We don't have to give up players. We don't have to give up prospects. All this is going to take is money. And I think the smart owners out there will approach it that way. And we're going to see a pretty interesting free agency on account of that.
All right. Give me the teams 1 through 3 that you think are going to be tough to beat. They're going to be in for the sweepstakes here.
Can I go more than that? Because I don't think there's an established favorite at this point. I think coming into this season, the expectation was Dodgers or bust. I don't think that's the case anymore. Like around the industry, the Dodgers certainly have interest in Ohtani, and they're certainly going to be there. And if they ended up with him in their uniform next year, it wouldn't surprise me. But the Dodgers are going to be there. I think the Boston Red Sox are going to be there. I think the Chicago Cubs are going to be there. I think the Texas Rangers are going to be there. The San Francisco Giants. A team like Seattle is really interesting to me. What is Seattle's appetite going to be to go for the years rather than that short-term high-dollar contract? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's going to play out this way necessarily, Dan, but it would not surprise me at all if a couple teams early on jump in with offers for like 4 years at $240 million. You know, just saying, hey, we're not going to go long-term with you, but we will give you, 50% more than any player has ever made. We will make you a $60 million a year player. And at that point, is Ohtani going to be intrigued by that? Or is that simply going to embolden him to take that $60 million a year number and try and get it for 8 or 9 or 10 years, as opposed to the 4 or 5 that some teams might want to offer?
The Angels odds, did they move at all, increase, decrease with the injury that he had?
I guess maybe increased slightly because there's a chance that the market just collapses, right? There's a chance that teams look at this and say, we thought he was a $60 million a year player, but now there's just too much uncertainty and the Angels could swoop in. But I got to be honest, I'm not sure that the Angels are willing to go out there and spend the money to re-sign him. I don't know how heavy the interest is going to be there.
Could they have traded him almost 2 months ago? I know that we said that they should have. But
yes, of course they should have. I mean, it was I wrote this in my column on ESPN.com yesterday. It was giving out awards, and the biggest blunder goes to the Los Angeles Angels for not doing what was patently obvious to everybody not named Artie Moreno. And when you have an impetuous owner who makes decisions flying by the seat of his pants, and suddenly, like 5 days before the trade deadline, when you have good offers lined up for a guy who in all likelihood is going to leave, but if you hold on to him, all you're going to get out of it is like the 70th pick in the draft as compensation. And you say, you know what? We're fighting for a wild card spot. And that sounds like a damn good idea. I mean, it's malpractice, Dan. It is. And then, I mean, of course they're going to double down on it by going out and getting Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez that day. And then a month later, They give those guys away for free. I mean, it's just organizational incompetence that I frankly don't blame the baseball operations people for, because they're just doing what their owner asks. It's just extremely poor ownership. Simple as that.
Always great to talk to you, Jeff. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure is always mine, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
Jeff Passan, Mothership, ESPN Senior Baseball Insider. Get a couple of phone calls here. You know, we brought it up quite a few times, ad nauseum, and because I could see this unfolding. He was not going to stay. Now, we didn't know he was going to get hurt, but even then, you could have traded him. Now, maybe the agent says, go ahead and trade him. He's not signing with whoever you're going to trade him to. So what's your return going to be? And that might come out eventually, that maybe they did explore a trade. And the owner tried to, because all I would want to know is, what's the number and do you want to stay? And if you can't give me an answer to both or at least one of those, then I'm going to trade you. I have to do that as a businessman. And this is a business decision. And we talked about that quite a few times, that the Angels were going to walk away with nothing out of this. A couple of phone calls in here. Keith in New Orleans. Hi, Keith. Good morning. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan and Danette. Appreciate you taking my call. Sure. How you been?
Oh, spectacular.
That's good. First time caller, long time listener. 5:11 in the morning, 5:10 of the day goes on, 2:40.
Okay.
I got two things. Dion. Did Dion open up Pandora's box? What I mean by that is, if another new coach comes into another college with less fanfare, less hoopla, and does the same thing Dion did, will that be accepted? What I mean by that is coming in, getting rid of 45, 50 players, bringing in other players. Did he open up something that's going to be uncontrollable, or will it be a double standard?
Well, the portal did that. And what Dion was saying is, look, the coaching staff and the players are responsible for one win last season. Well, why do I want to have that coaching staff or anybody on that staff or those players if they only won one game? I'm going to bring in my players, my coaches, and do it my way. Well, you know, NIL and the transfer portal allowed him to do it. Because, you know, in the older days, that you would transfer, but you had to sit out a year. Then you can't do that reclamation project. No mass transfers. Dion was able to do it. Will other coaches do this? Maybe not to this degree, but yeah, of course. I mean, coaches do this. There's not any attention attached to it the way it was with Dion. And Dion putting it on social media that he's telling these kids to their faces in a large conference room, basically, pack your bags. I don't need you anymore. Right?
I like what he did. It's just the way he did it. The other question is with Lane Kiffin. Is he auditioning for the job replacement when Nick Saban retires this weekend?
Maybe. you know, if you're Alabama boosters, you know, you want to see, keep an eye on Lane Kiffin. Offensive genius there. And, you know, Dabo Sweeney, maybe a little bit of the luster is lost there with what's happened at Clemson. But, yeah, I think you could look at Lane Kiffin. Would that be somebody that you want to hitch your wagon to? I think we're coming up on the anniversary of him being fired by USC. Has it been 10 years? Does that sound right, Paulie?
Tarmac Day?
Yes.
Checking.
God, how humbling is that? You land, and you come back from a loss. You land, and then all of a sudden it's like, Lane, you're going to have to get your own ride home. You get kicked to the curb at the tarmac. Like, you don't even get... They didn't have Uber back then. Like, what do? You got to call your wife and go, hon, can you come and pick me up? Yeah, what's wrong? I'm not the coach anymore at USC. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, next week will be the 10-year anniversary. They call it the FBO firing because he was in the the little offices there, the private jets.
Oh, God.
Big loss to Arizona State cost him his job.
Yeah.
And others.
Yeah. And USC plays Arizona State.
Yeah. So right. Lane Kiffin, according to the LA Times, he was called off the team bus at 3 a.m. as they were preparing to head back to campus on the group of buses. In a small room inside the terminal, Pat Hayden, the AD, was sitting there and told him he was done. I don't know how he got home. I think we asked him how he got home from the airport. I think some staffer gave him a ride.
Oh, my God.
Checking.
You imagine you're on the bus, getting ready to go, coach, head count. And all of a sudden, Pat Hayden shows up and says, Lane, come here. Yeah, Pat. Hey, man, that's a tough loss. Yeah, it really was. You know, we're going to get him going. We're going to get him. Yeah, about that, you're not going to be on the bus ride. I'm going to fire you. Has a coach been fired in a more unceremonious fashion than that?
Oh, wasn't there one that was on TV? Was it? I don't know if it was Herm Edwards. Was Herm Edwards at Arizona State told in the end zone?
I think walking off the field.
The athletic director. I thought the cameras stayed on the game, yes. Pac-12 Network, and they showed Herm Edwards having the check.
Would you rather get fired like that, walking off the field with the athletic director, or you have to get off the team bus in front of your team and you're brought in and fired? Yes, Tom.
I'll take it on the field. It gives me a little extra time to figure out how I'm getting home. Is it an Uber situation? Do I got to buy an airline ticket?
Yeah, grab my gear, all the free swag before you leave the locker room.
Yeah, Seton.
There's just something about, like, you know what? It's so bad. Like, just please leave now. We can't even wait. That's just brutal.
On the field?
That is just brutal. Yeah, on the field, yeah. On the tarmac, on the... How about a nice, Saturday afternoon loss? How about a nice Monday morning firing? That's the timeline for me.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone call. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, it was Herm Edwards. The AD was talking to him as he was leaving.
And you could see he's told something where Herm's surprised. And you have it on camera. It's like, Herm, come over here. Yeah. You know how Herm is. He's always fired up. Yeah. We're going to fire you. Yeah. Okay, all right. Now let me get off the field here.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.